consultation. 864-327-8001.
Kelley Blue Book is the one-stop shop for pricing, fixing, selling, and instant cash offering. Instant Cash Offer is exactly what it sounds like. An official offer to buy or trade your car.
Woo-hoo!
Just enter your VIN or license plate. Answer a few questions about your car's history and what kind of condition it's in. In minutes, you'll receive an offer to sell or trade your car that you can be sure is fair. Then choose a dealer to purchase your car and schedule a time to meet. For all of the it's, KBB.com.
Your attention.
It's time for Out of Bounds.
Two beauties!
With William Quackenbush.
Slow your roll. The show goes till three, loser.
And Ben Milstead.
My gosh, we need an intervention for you.
Be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out on the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold.
Clemson's going to the Elite Eight.
Out of Bounds.
The center fielder at the wall.
It's out of here.
It's out of here.
Got the distance. Does it have the accuracy?
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Monday, January 5th, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead. We are live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. Ready to embark on a week of five consecutive shows. Just a remarkable thing that hasn't happened in weeks, frankly. I don't know how I'm ever going to get off the European work schedule. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to join us on the phones or on the Adams Covington text line. 654-7627, a million topics and only 180 minutes to get your thoughts in. So act accordingly. How are you, Ben Milstead, on this fine Monday afternoon?
Quack, I am so fine today. I had a one-hour primer earlier today with Faxon. As we triple teamed his show, and now I'm here with you, so I'm excited about the week. That's when you know you love your job, when you're like excited that you're going to be able to work for five straight days. Knock on wood.
Oh boy, you did it now. The announcer's jinx on a work week.
Unless my grandmother, you say, "Lest God comes back."
Yeah. If the good Lord tarries, let me start with this. We both had travel this weekend, but we did different kinds of travel, and so I will ask you. Okay, I'm going to ask you this. This is a general travel question, and it's a travel question that I think applies to anyone that travels, and not just to the people who travel pinky in the air like we do on the private planes. Would you rather go from a place, like for example, I'm just going to throw this out there. When I am going from Clemson to Miami, which I did this weekend, that is a full layer, maybe a layer and a half of difference in how you have to dress, okay? You went from Clemson to Pittsburgh. It could potentially be a layer to a layer and a half different from how you want to dress. So, does that bother you? Like, the clothes that I'm wearing when I take off on the plane, I'm going to need a higher number or a lower number of layers when I get off of this plane, and that will be uncomfortable. Does that bother you?
Let me answer that in a moment. I appreciate texters asking about John. Yeah, John was just under the weather today. As far as we know, he's okay, and he started into work this morning and then called me and said, I'm just not going to be able to make it. And I appreciate him giving it a shot, but we also don't want people coming to work when they're sick. So several texters asking, so thank you for that. Quark, you and I are going to be very different in the question that you just asked me about layering. Syracuse aside, because I knew what we were flying into at Syracuse, a very unique, hopefully never happens again situation.
Arctic expedition.
I took the double layered coat with me to Syracuse. Best and gloves. I haven't done that in years. I didn't even take a coat with me to Pittsburgh.
Did you not?
No. I just stayed straight pullover. And here's why. Because I knew that I was going to be outside 1, 2, 4 times. And none of those 4 times, more than about 1 minute each. And I thought, could I walk to my mailbox and back in 20-degree weather without a coat?
That's an excellent point.
Yes, I can.
Great point.
Do I want to have to do I want the hassle of a big, heavy coat that I got to keep up with? You know, on a plane and in my luggage and all. I mean, I try to pack light. No, I don't. So yes, I'm the idiot that went without a coat. I say idiot affectionately because one member of our basketball staff routinely wears shorts and did even to Syracuse.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yes.
By the way, I have something I need to tell you about.
He's a little bit out there.
Oh, yeah, about that member of the staff. I need to tell you something about that member of the staff.
Listening.
Because there was a – and I might have told you this. There was a clip from the Syracuse game that I have to send that member of the staff where they lingered on him for quite some time, and it was like a staring contest between him and something across the floor, and it was an uncomfortable amount of time. So it's memeable, and so we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah, the – texter asking about how this size teams travel. Football is full blown Delta plane. It's chartered, but it's a big boy. Clemson has used Dale Earnhardt Incorporated for several years now. Probably, I don't know. I'm guessing maybe 8 years. So in that range,
it's been a while since. When I first started traveling, there were a couple of different companies, but yeah, we see the same flight attendants,
yeah,
all the time.
It's that Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. They fly out of Kannapolis, and they have 2 planes that are, I think those are technically 52 seaters. We don't travel with that many people because the players would never fit, but. They are phenomenal. Phenomenal.
It's great. It's a great company.
It is awesome to know the flight attendants and the pilots. And the flight attendant we have most often is she has become a big Clemson fan. She has driven here from Kannapolis and gone to games before.
She sat with Miss Grooms.
Yeah, she and Miss Grooms are very good friends now, and it really makes travel that much more enjoyable.
I appreciate your what you're saying about the travel. It would save me stress if I just didn't worry about it.
Yeah, detector said, do I fly with them? I do fly. I fly with the men's team. Quark flies with the women's team, and almost always.
Almost always. Yeah.
There's a few times where, like I did not to the New York game, just because of their travel party. But, 98% of the time, 95% of the time, I'm with them, and they are way, way, way too good to me. I mean, they treat me like I'm part of the team, and it's I truly look forward to it. You mean, like, been on 3 road trips in 8 days, and I've loved it. I mean, I don't like being away from home, but I've absolutely loved it.
You build great relationships on those. Like, you don't build relationships at home games like you do on the road. And so just selfishly, I like road games too.
Yeah.
Now, you win them more at home. So the home games are fun. Generally speaking, you're going to win more at home.
Unless you're the
men's team. Unless you're the men's team, where I'm going to say this like 50 times today because it is – people need to just sit in the weight and the gravity of the statement I'm about to say. Brad Brownell's Clemson men's basketball team has won 10 consecutive Atlantic Coast Conference road games.
That is remarkable. When I started doing basketball almost 20 years ago, I think this is season 20. You looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year and said, okay, if we can win these 8 home games, and they played 16 then. So if we can win these 8 home games, and maybe one. If it's a special year, 2 road games. Oh man, are you kidding me? That would be just a phenomenal year. That was the mentality.
Yeah, how many years did we go, okay, what's the losable home game that you can replace with a winnable road game? That's how we'd have to look at the schedules. Clemson, and I'll tell you that Clemson has been so consistent on the road that if you had told somebody like 3 years ago, okay, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you had told somebody in the Brad Brownell era, Clemson is going to go to Syracuse and win a 1-possession game and go to Pittsburgh and win a 2-possession game in a 4-day span, you probably would get called some funny names. But it is almost unremarkable that they did it. It's almost like there were no banners. There was no national clamor. It is just a thing that Brad Brownell's Clemson team does now is they go on the road and they beat teams. And listen, Syracuse and Pitt, probably from a sheer recruited talent standpoint, Syracuse and Pitt are comparable to Clemson. But in terms of a coached talent, developed talent, and an X's and O's standpoint, Clemson's advantage in these games is all the other stuff.
Yeah, I still maintain Syracuse is at least a comparable roster, if not better, in the starting five. Pittsburgh, nah. Pittsburgh has been poorly coached for years now. They know it. Everybody there knows it except the administration. And I don't know that they were necessarily even that talented on the – they were not as talented – this year as they were the last couple of seasons.
What boggled my mind? And they weren't as talented. The Witherspoon kid coming off the bench, I left that game going, boy, he could play for me.
Yeah.
And he's not – there's a couple of those – I mean, a couple of those starters I'm like, I don't need this guy. I mean, I don't – this guy, I could take or leave this guy, but I want Witherspoon in the portal. I'm like, this guy – you know who he reminded me of? He reminded me a little bit of Tevin Mack. A little like that,
yeah.
Like a long, like a sort of a slow release jumper, but like he's got a height advantage in his matchup, so he can get it off. He's not going to hit a ton of three, but he's going to score off the bounce a lot. I like that kid.
Texter asked, "Do you think Clemson is underrated?" No, I think they are a fringe top 25 team right now. I mean, you could make an argument to put them in the top 25. But then when I look at the other teams that are in the top 25, you know, you got to take somebody out. Kentucky's still in the top 25. They shouldn't be. But it's hard for me to find somebody there that maybe I would say should not be. I saw Jeff Goodman had SMU in his top 25 today. So they come to town Wednesday night. They're playing very well.
They almost dropped 100 on North Carolina on Saturday.
Yes, they are. I would say they are a comparable team, comparable roster, and they are 12-2, if I'm not mistaken. I think they have one less loss. So, but KenPom gives Clemson a 60% chance of winning Wednesday night. I think it's more of a 50-50. I mean, this is a big test Wednesday night. Interestingly, we're talking about road games. I'm not sure. Notre Dame is the next road game. Only 53% chance at Notre Dame. We've struggled there.
That's my thing.
And and Notre Dame has played some really good games, and they've played some stinkers. So they're hard to figure out, and they're playing without Marcus Burton right now. So he will not be back until after the Clemson game.
Clemson, Bart Torvik. I was actually going to bring this up later. So since you're talking about KenPom. Bart Torvik gives Clemson women's basketball a 17% chance to be NC State on Thursday. And I think these are two massive games. Men's basketball at 9 on Wednesday and women's basketball at 8 on Thursday. They could use a good crowd because NC State is a good team. They're playing a little better, but they are as gettable as NC State has been in some years, in my opinion. 17% is way too low.
I'm going to try to get out there Thursday. I hope I can make it.
If they play the way they played yesterday, they will beat NC State. I believe that. They will beat NC State and shoot the ball the way that they shot it yesterday.
Love how many people are excited that Clemson will be back in Little John this week. Finally.
It's been 3 weeks. It's
been a minute.
We don't have time for the best thing you saw this weekend. When we come back, we'll get to it. And then we've gotten a bunch of questions about Clemson's football activity over the weekend. So we'll talk
Imagine hoops.
Shocker. We'll talk hoops and we'll talk football on the Clemson side. Lots of national storylines as well as we enter a college football playoff semifinal week. Stay with us. Our number one of the program continues right after this.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7, so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at quo.com/sports. That's quo.com/sports to try Quo free. quo.com/sports.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower, the list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
The plumber whose name is his number, One Time Plumber, One Time Plumber.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
All right. Hour number one continues. Is that...
No, that was the beginning
of our football. Was that the beginning of our football conversation?
As soon as I click on Bob Marley there, I was like, oh, people are going to think that's intentional. So it's unfortunate.
Oh, man. This hour of the program brought to you by friends at PhD Weight Loss. Folks, let me tell you something right now. PhD Weight Loss is your ticket to a better new year. There's no question about it. There's no two ways around it, folks. A PhD can get the job done for you. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team have cracked the code, Governor. They have, no doubt about it, created a system that is going to revolutionize your life. It is going to get you ready for the new year, and that is their metabolic reset system. I have been in that program. I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks. I was talking to my wife about it today, and it is just the best. And it's not your fault that weight loss is hard, because it's not just about willpower, it's about metabolism. Find out how with PhD. If you call them right now and mention Fix My Weight Loss, you can unlock their New Year special. It's free, it's personalized, and it can explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Mr. Ann Offender says, and I'm just going to read this. This is a great encapsulation of the weekend. He says, I saw where Roger Buchanan kidnapped the president of Venezuela over the weekend. Wild times.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's sort of an inside joke between all the everyday listeners.
That's great.
That's well done.
That's great. All right, 654-ROAR is the number. What is, I let it linger. Ben Milstead, what is the best thing that you saw this weekend?
Well, outside of Mr. Ann Offender's reference, where a country is liberated and the world is freed of a drug lord.
Very bad guy. Very bad guy. Terrific.
That's easily. And to do that without in complete secrecy, that doesn't leak out, is phenomenal. America, phenomenal. You know what? On the field, though, I saw some great things with Clemson basketball at Pitt. I saw some great things with women's basketball on my television yesterday. The NFL as a whole, I maintain it has not been a great product this year. But man, it has been entertaining to watch, and the Jags just. Maybe taking yet another step forward yesterday. We saw a 67-yard field goal that's easily good from 70. Like it ain't nothing, Quack. You saw Trevor Lawrence play the second half of this season like an MVP. Man, they're reeling me in. It's taken all season, but I'm starting to believe. There's a lot of that. You see the Ravens miss a field goal.
I felt so bad. The guy's middle of the field from 44, and he just shanked it. He did. He just shanked. That looked like a William Quackenbush drive right there.
I saw a meme on Twitter right before we came on the air of an animated look at the Ravens team plane flying to Cancun for vacation. And it had goalpost on Cancun, and the plane just went right and kept right on going.
Oh, that's hilarious. I thought you were going to say the most anticipated Atlanta Falcons game in almost a decade. I thought you were going to say that from this weekend.
That's the most Falcons thing you've ever said. The meaningless Falcons game. That puts the Panthers in the playoffs.
Hey, man, it's the Falcons' first division title since 2025. Or, I'm sorry, since 2016 in 2025. First time they won the division in 9 years. It just so happens that they didn't make the playoffs because, well,
yeah,
they were far and away number three in the tiebreaker.
And to celebrate, they fired the coach. The GM, and now the CEO. And now Arthur Blank is still running the show. I might be the only Falcon fan. We're not going to talk NFL. There's a lot of Clemson stuff we got to get to, and we're aware of that. I am a long-time suffering Falcons fan, and I'm 100% in the minority here. I really wish they would have given Morris one more season. I feel like they just need a little stability there. He had injuries. I mean, they've got so many young pieces that you feel like are going to gel at some point. And they down the stretch here, they've played great. But then again, the Falcons usually play good when there's nothing on the line. So,
it was their 8 wins before Raheem Morris got there. They hadn't won 8 since 2017. They've done it twice. I think he was dealt a bad hand. I'm not sure he was the right guy for the job. I do think he was dealt a bad hand there. The best thing I saw this weekend is, and I've enjoyed the banter, but the best thing that I saw off the field was that Clemson football has a direction, and so I want to talk about that. The best thing I saw this weekend was Raven Thompson yesterday, Ben. Raven Thompson.
What did they let her on the plane afterwards? Because she was on fire.
Oh yeah, she was a flight risk to the plane because you can't take batteries on the plane. You can't have that. She was 10 for 12 from the floor, and her two misses were at the end of the shot clock.
If she was a quarterback, she was throwing them away.
Oh yeah,
it was a throwaway.
Yeah. One of the misses, Sean Poppy applauded because all they needed to do was use the clock. He didn't even care if they scored, but they used all the clock. She at one point did a legitimate Harlem Globetrotters move. It was because it happened kind of slow. It reminded me of the episode of The Office where Michael is where they're playing basketball. It's one of the early season 1 episodes. And he goes down to his knees and, spins around.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of stumbles under the basket and, keeps her dribble on her knees and gets back up. And I was like, Michael Scott. That's 100% the Michael Scott play.
It was a Curly Neal dribble. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, Globetrotters.
She was unconscious in the gym yesterday. Best player on the floor. She is averaging 20-something a game in her last 2. And is a legitimate candidate. It was a great week for ACC women's basketball, but she's a legitimate candidate to make player of the week in the conference because of how she played against Virginia and then against Miami. And Brad Brownell, Sean Poppy now 2-0 against Miami. Big road win for the Tigers before they come back home. The off the field best thing I saw this weekend was that Clemson football has a direction. Now, I'm very specific in the language there because I think what people are going to say is a little bit of a misnomer, and I want to be clear about this. People are going to say things like, well, Clemson football is going to have an identity now, or Clemson offense. The Clemson offense is going to have an identity. The reality is Clemson's offense had an identity. The identity is, what the heck is this? For 3 years, Clemson's identity largely was forgetting about the running backs and lack of awareness of game situations and yards but no points. To that end, it is interesting that Dabo Swinney's statements seem to address, and I would not have hired Chad Morris. If you give me a blank check and you tell me that I can go hire any offensive coordinator, this would not have been my hire. Sometimes our job is to tell you what we would have done, and sometimes our job is to tell you why the people who are paid to make the decisions are making the decisions. And we know this morning, we know why Dabo Swinney hired Chad Morris. And it goes beyond just the things that I think very popularly that we are thinking, telling ourselves, being told, that sort of thing. But there were 2 things that stood out to me from Dabo Swinney's statement about the hiring of Chad Morris that was made official yesterday from his comments. He said, in part, I'm going to read a couple of portions here, quote, It's pretty cool to have guys like DeAndre Hopkins and Sammy Watkins and a bunch of great players shooting me text messages with their excitement, knowing what's to come offensively. I think we've got elite offensive personnel, and the name of the game is points. The one thing I know about Chad, he knows how to score points. And so I'm excited to welcome him and his family back. Close quote. I think one of the issues that Clemson had offensively is that Clemson knew how to move the ball, and it did not know how to score points. How many times? The SMU game is a perfect example. Christopher Vezina comes out with a perfectly fine stat line, and one of the things that we talked about in the aftermath of that SMU game was you had these passing yards and you moved the ball okay, but you only scored 24 points. The LSU game, Clemson moved the ball at times against LSU, got the ball in scoring range a number of times, 10 points. The yardage didn't match the points pretty much all the time. And so for Dabo Swinney to say, not like Chad knows how to do a run game, Chad knows how to develop offensive line, Chad knows how to coach quarterbacks, he could have said all this stuff, but what he said is Chad knows how to score points. Dabo Swinney understands that whether it's a run game in the red zone or whether it's calling shot plays that work in the middle of the field or whether it's just attention to detail down in scoring areas, that Chad Morris is going to score points. And that's why you hire that guy. So that's number one. Number two is, and this is not Dabo's comments, this is more just what happened. The contract that he got this morning tells me one of two things is accurate, and likely a combination of both things are accurate about this choice. Number one is that if the price point that Dabo, or the financial flexibility that Dabo had was $1.2 million, which is what Chad Morris got, which is less than what he had previously. I think he was making $1.3 million when he left in 2014. If he was told because of the buyout money and because of allocation of resources elsewhere, you don't get to hire a $2 million coordinator this time, we've only got 1.2, then that would cull the list down quite a bit from what I gave you originally because, for example, I'm not sure Cade Bell is coming to Clemson for 1.2, for example, especially if he can't bring his quarterback, which that's another piece of the equation. Or if you want to hire Chad Morris, we're not going to pay $2 million for Chad Morris or $1.5 million or whatever. We're going to pay what market value says for this guy.
Yeah, I don't know that he was in a position to ask for $2
million. Exactly. That's kind of what I'm thinking. So if budget was a factor here, then it would better explain why the thing happened that a lot of people thought shouldn't have happened. Thirdly, and this has nothing to do with Chad Morris, now it sets the ability for Clemson to get into the portal to address offensive needs. You see the defensive needs that the visitors are coming through, and it's all three levels of the defense, and it's every position group, and people are coming through, and you've seen very little of that offensively, and I think that is on purpose because they wanted to be able to get the people who are going to be coaching these players fully in the building to be able to address questions and concerns with people. And every day that Clemson didn't have a coordinator is a day that Clemson was going to have a hard time convincing a running back, for example, or an offensive lineman, this is the system you're going to be in.
I believe this deal was done a week ago, though, and I wish they would have done this. I realize it's only January 5th, but the portal opened last Friday. I do wish they would have at least gotten it done, a working day sooner, but Texture said, and I do want to talk about this. Texture said, terrible hire. Same good old boy system. 6-6 in 2026. I believe that is the pushback by many fans. The belief that this is the same good old boys system. And you might be right. And listen, to be honest, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that's how that building has been assembled. Can't deny that. I will tell you, and you can believe me if you want, it's fine. You decide. Chad Morris was not part of the good old boy system when he was here before. Chad Morris ran the offense. He ran his offense. And I've been told that the meeting that he has already had with staff over there on the offensive side of the ball would suggest that he is anything but the good old boy system. He is a free thinker. And so I take some comfort in that because I understand the concern here by the texter. I mean, I really do. And maybe things have changed because he and Dabo Swinney, outside of their coaching relationship, they would consider each other good friends. And so if you're concerned about that, I get it. But I would just tell you from what the way things were last time he was here, that was definitely not the case. And I would also point to the defensive side of the ball that Tom Allen was not part of the good old boy system. He has stepped in, and it appears that Coach Swinney is allowing him to do his thing. We're seeing that in the portal. So I choose to hope that will also be the case on the offensive side. However, I do not think that's going to change the stance on the quarterback. And that's the elephant in the room, Quok.
In fact, if you look at one of the things that Dabo Swinney says in his full comments that you can find on ClemsonTigers.com, he says, with the skill sets of our quarterbacks, I felt like he was the right fit for where we are right now and what I want to do.
Yeah, and listen. Same texter says he will run the Clemson offense, not the Morris offense. Listen, the Clemson offense is the Morris offense.
Yes.
The Clemson offense that Dabo Swinney refers to is the Chad Morris offense. That started in 2011. It wasn't Billy Napier. And Chad Morris taught that to Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott. When you hear the Clemson offense, this is what he's talking about. Things have changed. I get it. And we've talked about that last week. The rules have changed that, you know, make what Chad Morris did when he first came here back in 2011 hard to do now. But you're talking about the same thing. Please realize that.
No doubt about it. I want to talk about this more coming back because there are a couple other elements to this that I find particularly intriguing. You know, I know who can help Chad Morris move. Tiger Moving.
Boom.
I don't know where he wants to live in the upstate. If he wants to move back into, you know, the OC house over there, he could do that. Tiger Moving can help you with that. They can help you with your next move for your home or your business, your furniture, whatever it is. They can hook you up with that. All it takes is an email back and forth. TigerMoving@gmail.com. TigerMovingGreenville.com. If this goes well, maybe Chad Morris's head gets on a moving truck. As it stands, greats like Barbara Kennedy Dixon and Eric McLean, et cetera, et cetera. You got great Clemson players whose heads are on those moving trucks, and you can trust the Tiger Moving fleet of vehicles. You can trust the movers, clean cut and reliable. You can trust their price points. This is a terrific company. TigerMoving@gmail.com. Start the process with an email, TigerMovingGreenville.com. We'll go to the phones. We'll talk more about Chad Morris and the Clemson football program. Hour one continues after this.
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters. Is your garage door opener broken? One of the most common issues we handle is garage doors that suddenly stop working. At American Doormasters, we diagnose and fix problems like broken springs, offering professional service at a great price. Serving the upstate of South Carolina, we provide top quality garage door installation and repair. Whatever your needs, call American Doormasters today at 864-990-3075 for prompt and professional service.
Whether it's cruising around the neighborhood or hanging out with friends at the tailgate, do it in style with a golf cart from Elite Custom Golf Carts. Let their friendly staff help you find the perfect ride for you and your family. Call today to ask about their free delivery to over 10 U.S. states and flat rate delivery to many more. Now with three locations, call or stop in and see what makes Elite Custom Golf Carts the Upstate's golf cart superstore. Visit them at EliteCustomGolfCarts.com. Proudly owned by a Clemson alumni. Go Tigers!
2008 was an incredible year for me and my family. Not only was it the year that I became head coach at Clemson, but it was also the year that I found the only dealership I need for sales and service. Toyota of Easley is my kind of place. If you are considering the purchase of a new or used vehicle or need your current vehicle serviced or repaired, then I encourage you to go see the winning team at Toyota of Easley. Be sure and tell them Dabo sent you.
tired of waiting on hold forever? Talking to someone three states away who doesn't get it? At Upcountry Fiber, we're your neighbors, right here in the upstate, bringing you fast fiber internet and real local support 24/7. No pushy sales, no surprise fees, just honest service and a strong connection. And now it's a perfect time to switch. Save $15 a month for a year on any fiber internet plan. Upcountry Fiber, certified local, a stronger connection.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
Buying a mattress is painful. That's why we developed the Duo Mattress, a patented two-piece mattress design that makes this process easy. The Duo is the most cost-effective, sustainable, adaptable, and comfortable mattress you've ever experienced. With our 100-night sleep trial and unique comfort exchange, you can rest easy knowing you're taken care of with engineered sleep.
Before you break ground on that exciting project, here's a friendly reminder from Fort Hill Natural Gas. Safety first. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law and it's free. Whether you're planting a garden or installing that dream patio, make sure to dial 811. Your ticket to a safe and worry-free project. Fort Hill Natural Gas supports and recognizes safe digging practices. Your safety is their priority. Dig smart, dig safe. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Fort Hill Natural Gas, where safety meets satisfaction.
From kickoff to the final whistle, your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
There's one other thing I want to say about this before we go to Johnny and Salisbury. And it struck me when I was reading Dabo's comments and Chad Morris's comments that, as I said, I don't know if Dabo did it on purpose, but it feels like his statements are like he knows the criticisms that are out there of this and he's trying to rebut those at every turn or trying to change the narrative a little bit around this hire in a way that would be kind of suspicious if he wasn't aware of how this looks. But they both referenced that Chad Morris has gotten to travel and learn on a bunch of staffs. He's been on Clemson's staff. He was at Texas State. He actually thanked Tony Elliott for, I think there's this idea that, and in fact, I had the idea until this morning when I read Chad Morris's statement. There's this idea, Ben, that he was just sort of in the stands watching his son and just sitting around all day twiddling his thumbs. But he actually said, I also want to extend my deepest thanks to Tony Elliott, Des Kitchens, and the staff at Virginia for allowing me to be around their program during the historic 2025 season. All last year, I was able to travel and watch and visit and learn from so many different coaches at Virginia and beyond, and I'm excited to bring all that wisdom and knowledge back to Clemson.
Yeah, he's still been a student of the game, for sure.
So I appreciate that he – this might not be the Chad Morris offense from 2014 because he might have learned some different ways of doing things. Let's go to Johnny in Salisbury, who's up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. You want to join him there. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, Qualk. Hey, Ben. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Right, thanks for getting in.
Got a couple points. But Chad Morris. Chad Morris, the knock on him back when he was here the first time was the same with Riley. He went away from the run. You know, he went away from the run too many times. We were down 5 or 7, 10 points. He would go away from the run. That was a knock on him the first time. Now, the second point. The quarterback, portal of the quarterback situation. My frustration was, okay, with the advent of the CFP, these bowl games are meaningless. The bowl game basically was a spring practice with a spring game in December, was what it should have been. I don't understand why Dabo didn't play Vecina in the bowl game. Cade is gone. You know, Cade's not a college player anymore. He's a pro player. What he was paid, $3 million? I'd have gone to Cade and say, Cade, I'll give you one or two possessions. But I've got to figure out if Vezina can play. And I just don't understand why that he didn't play Vezina the whole bowl game. The bowl game is meaningless. It's a spring game in December. And I just don't understand why he didn't play it. If he didn't play it, does that mean he knows he's not that good? And is he still not going to the portal? That's my frustration. Dabo's like me. I'm hard-headed. He's hard-headed. But he's got to look at things and say, okay, I got to change because the game has changed the last 18 months, the last 36 years. And you got to be able to change. And I hope Dabo can do it. I'm a Dabo fan, but I'm concerned that his stubbornness is going to be his downfall. Thanks, guys.
Johnny, appreciate the phone call. I think those are two legitimate criticisms now, and I'll sort of go backwards there. Because to me, Ben, the bowl game being meaningless only matters – that's something that people will say if you lose it or if you treat it like it's meaningless. Mm-hmm. It was meaningful for Dabo. Whether you agree or disagree about what it is, the reality is that Dabo Swinney started bowl prep with the media by talking about how Clemson had won a postseason game 14 consecutive years, and we're trying to make it a 15th. He was asked about quarterback, and he said, we want to win the game, period. I understand what people are saying about giving other quarterbacks some run and letting Cade sort of ride off into the sunset. On the other hand, I actually think the criticism is on the other end of the spectrum. If Dabo watched Cade play in the bowl game and decided that Christopher Vezina didn't give them a better chance than Cade Klubnik, how then can you project that Christopher Vezina is what you need in your quarterback room as your incumbent starter, for all intents and purposes, next year? That would be my criticism, is that Cade Klubnik wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire in the bowl game. Now, he didn't get help from his receivers. He didn't have a run game, all that stuff. But they didn't even try Vezina, not even for a snap. That, to me, is a it's not the criticism on the one side that says, why did they treat the bowl game so meaningfully? I'm not going to have an issue with a team that wants to win their bowl game. I don't follow the logic of, this game is so meaningful to me that I'm not going to play the guy that I am quite sure is going to be the starting quarterback next year. Ben, your thoughts on that, about the meaningfulness of the bowls and that kind of thing?
I can see both sides of that. Well, from a meaningful standpoint, Johnny, it wasn't meaningful to Johnny, and it wasn't meaningful to a lot of fans. It was very meaningful to Dabo Swinney, as you said, and so he did not approach it as a spring game. He approached it as a game he wanted to win. Why he didn't play Vezina, we'll never know. We'll never know. I can think of a lot of reasons why he should have. I can think of a couple why he shouldn't have. But, you know, it's kind of water under the bridge now. On Chad Morris in 2014, which was his last season here, you know, Johnny said he went away from the run. Look, we say that about every time you lose a game, that's the go-to, you know. And we did that with Riley too. Well, he didn't run, and with Riley it was true. Didn't run the ball enough or didn't pass the ball enough. You also had a freshman quarterback named Deshaun Watson in 2014, and you had a all-world wide receiver named Mike Williams that had over 1,000 yards receiving. And you had Wayne Gallman that ran the ball for almost 800 yards. You converted third down 42% of the time. You scored 31 points a game. Would you take any of that right now?
All right, this is the difference right there, because, yes, that criticism was true in some of the games that you remember. But Clemson ran the ball more than it threw it in 2014.
Yeah, so to say that I'm sure there were times that he probably got away from the run, but Sean Watson's my quarterback. I'm not okay with that.
Oh yeah, and you know what? The Wayne Gallman freshman year where there was a vacuum. Let's talk about the other 3 years of Chad Morris, where they had a running back with at least 1,000 yards rushing in all three of those seasons, and those running backs were not top 50 players. I would argue, from a recruited standpoint, there's no question. There is no question that Gideon Davidson is a better running back to work with than Rod McDowell or Andre Ellington, both of whom rushed for 1,000 yards in a combined 3 seasons under Chad Morris. Like I said, Clemson ran the ball, and they were running faster offense. The tempo was quicker, So there was more snaps and more carries, but they ran it like 4.4 yards per carry minimum. Last year, Clemson ran it at 3.95 yards per carry, and the running backs are like 5 to 6 to 7. Even the backups are getting more yards per carry in the run game. It was a better per-carry run game. It was a more explosive run game, and it was a more persistent run game than some of the individual moments where people would have liked Chad Morris to stick with it a little bit.
Yeah, and listen, I just want to be perfectly clear here. I have my reservations about this hire. I do. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. And I am not trying to convince people one way or the other. But if you say something that's inaccurate, I feel like it's our job to correct that, because we can convince. I feel like there are some who are convinced that Chad Morris was a bad offensive coordinator when he was here before, and that we wanted him to leave. And that is simply not the case. Not the case at all. So again, I understand the reservation here. I am with most of you on that reservation, but at the same time, I want to be accurate on what it is that you think you're upset about.
Texter says from the 864, prior to the 2014 season, we lost to South Carolina for 3 years because he was abandoning the run game. I disagree. I totally disagree. In 2013 in particular, you lost because you turned the ball over, which you could say maybe you shouldn't have thrown the ball. You turned it over 6 times in 2013. That has nothing to do with whether you ran it or threw it. You got behind in the game and had to throw it because you turned the ball over. In 11 and 12, they weren't better. Plain and simple. In 11, they weren't playing great ball down the stretch. Now, they beat Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game, but people forget that 11 team, when they clinched the division, they didn't know how to act. Remember, they went to Carter-Finley and got dump-trucked by NC State and then went and lost at South Carolina, went and lost at Williams-Brice in a game where, again, they were thoroughly outclassed by South Carolina in that game.
Yeah, you're also talking about, like, in 2013, South Carolina finished the regular season ranked 4th.
Yeah, I mean.
We're not talking about now the South. You're talking about the golden years of South Carolina. You know, they were better than you then.
Right.
That wasn't a Chad Morris thing.
So, like, if you're Matt, by the way, Garrett Riley lost to South Carolina too. Brandon Streeter lost to South Carolina with a quarterback who was like 8 for 29. Some would have said he should have stopped throwing the ball. I mean, so like putting that on Chad Morris is just inaccurate. The bottom line is that the Chad Morris offense was consistently churning out effective run games and effective running backs. They were effectively blocking for the run. When's the last time we said that Clemson's offensive line, from start to finish in a season, effectively blocked for a run game? Now, some of that is the Chad Morris passing game, which they got to figure out how to put that back because, as you said, Ben, some of the ideas, the pace, and some of the orbit jet motion stuff to try to create conflict in safeties and linebackers is a little more in vogue, and it's kind of been legislated out of the game some. So can you continue to create those openings because teams are afraid of explosive plays? And you know what? Clemson also, it's the number one pushback against the Chad Morris can't run the ball effectively thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know Clemson ran the literal exact same action on every 3rd and 1 for 3 freaking years, and it worked every single dang time? It was the same play. Did Taj Boyd ever give the jet? No. Did he get the first down every time? Yes. Every single time. You ran it up the center's butt crack for 3 whole years, and it worked every single time. And you know what? That play will work every time with Vezina. I'm going to tell you that. If they run it every time, he's 230 pounds. Ben, it's going to work every time. I ain't worried about Clemson getting a yard on 3rd and 1. I'm not worried about that at all.
Christopher Vezina's 230 pounds?
I think he is. Like 225, maybe? I think so. I'm about to look it up. I think he's listed at like 225.
Somebody's lying in the program if they...
Let's see.
Tammy from Seneca asked a fair question. Says, can you point to an example where getting the band back together has been a success? It doesn't happen very often.
6'4", 210, by the way. 210. Little lighter than 225.
Okay. Yeah.
Give him a D-Love offseason, baby. 225.
I can't give you an example right off because I don't think it happens very often. However, I would point out that we we had people who would text us every week saying, need to bring back Jeff Scott to run the offense. I mean, so it was like, we do want to get the band back together. We just want to pick the members.
You know? That's a great point. That's only the members that I say. There's one other element of this when we come back, and it's not the Chad Morris hire in a vacuum. It's Chad Morris plus some of the other decisions that has people a little bit unnerved. And so I want to address that a little when we come back, too, because we're getting some questions beyond that as well. This hour brought to you by our friends at Ingles, low prices, love of savings. Ben, I need two things from Ingles today. I need Kleenex. Just, we're out. I was told. We're out. And the other thing I need is I need a Starbucks, because it's a dreary day outside, and I'm going to need that about 3:45.
You actually buy y'all are rich. I have to use toilet paper and paper towels to blow my nose.
Look, man, hey, I'm not saying we do the high-dollar stuff. I'm saying just, you know, a normal, like, half-ply tissue paper.
It's cheaper at Ingles.
It is. It is at Ingles. And I'm going to walk out with 8 to 12 additional items that I didn't need, but that I see when I'm there. You give me an item that's worth triple digits and fuel perks points, I'm going to get it no matter if it just sits in my pantry. Ingles, low prices, love the savings. Hour one is in the books. Hour number two, more Clemson football talk, some Clemson hoops talk.